The recordings are now connected.
Thank you very much, Anderson. Niels, over to you.
Mariam and other ICANN staff, and for arranging the technical possibilities for this call. This is the call of the cross-community working party for ICANN's corporate and social responsibility to respect human rights. And we're meeting at 16 hours UTC. We have a bit of a full agenda. We're getting quite close to the Helsinki meeting, so we have a lot of documents to discuss and practical things. But I hope we can have also space for people to ask questions, because I see there are some people on the call we did not have on a call before, so I want to be really cognizant that we'll not use too many abbreviations and unclear language, so I would be very happy to explain everything when needed. So I proposed an agenda. No, that was not my dog. I proposed an agenda. I hope you are all okay with this. Do anyone have got any other points for the agenda? No, if not, then I would like to go on to the next point, which is the discussion of the CCWPHR documents. And I think we have been producing quite a lot of documents, and I think we can be quite proud of ourselves. Let's start off with documents produced by Fidushi. I will see if I can find the link, but I'll first hand over to Fidushi to introduce the documents and gather all the comments that people might have about it. Fidushi, can you come in? You are on the call, but I am not hearing you. No, Fidushi? Kanker. I'm coming back now via my phone.
Coming back now via my phone because my
stopped functioning. Fidushi, could you come in? And are you here now or not? No, we will. Okay, great. Can you come in and tell us about your document? Fidushi? Oh, you're waiting for Mariam for the dial-out. Okay. Then let's go ahead to the last document, the HR management questionnaire, which has been cleaned up by Motoko. There has been quite a lot of work by Motoko to get it in better shape, and we've been working on this document for a while. Motoko, could you come in on this and give us a short update of where we are with this?
Yes, thank you, Niels. And apologies, I did not manage to circulate the Google Doc beforehand. And so as soon as I stop speaking, I will send the link via the meeting space. So I've just populated the chart with additional ICANN documents, and I've made a conscious effort to basically stick to ICANN documents, first of all, because there are a lot of documents that ICANN does put out. But as soon as we go outside, we sort of lose control of the types of documents we put out there, and it becomes very there's a very diverse range of documents that are available outside of ICANN, and so I have stuck with ICANN documents available on ICANN website. What strikes me is that there are certain areas in which we can put out quite a lot, and analysis is possible. And then there are other types of documents which are conspicuously missing, and particularly the key regulatory measures. You will see eventually when I send the link that we don't have, and I certainly don't have a good sense of the applicable law that would be relevant for this purpose. And I only mention this because when we subsequently have this conversation on the frame of interpretation, and the bylaw interpretation eventually, and to describe exactly what are the legal obligations of ICANN in terms of respecting human rights, there is going to be some overlap. And so as far as I'm concerned, the next focus of this document will have to be on the key regulatory measures. And I think this also means us working with others who are much more aware of the legal requirements that are imposed on ICANN from a technical or any other perspective. And it's a little beyond my specific area of expertise at this point. So I just wanted to point this out, Niels, but it is coming along. And if others have more to put, include in this matrix, that's always, always welcome. So I will release this document shortly. It's a draft of 9 June. Thank you so much.
Much, Motoko. And this is really great. We, to be clear, this continues to be our working document to keep our frame for an initial scoping or scouting for an initial human rights impact assessment here. So. We're making progress with this, and this is very good. Then I would like to go on to the next point, and that is a bit of the work of both Tatiana and Corinne. So I would like to invite them both. Maybe first Tatiana, then Corinne. First Corinne, Tatiana, I do not mind. To talk a bit about where that document is and to present a bit about that. Could you go ahead, Tatiana or Corinne?
Can you hear me well?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
We can hear you both very well.
No, it's just that I really have
very
little. Yeah, no, it's just that Tatiana actually has a lot to add, whereas for me it's very short. The FYI hasn't substantially changed since the last time I sent it around. But on the other hand, Tatiana has done a lot of work of trying to actually figure out which different sort of instruments apply. So I'll let her explain that.
Excellent. Thank you. Tatiana, go ahead.
Thank you. Tatiana Tropina is speaking. I'm not on the audio bridge, and this is the first time when I'm on this call with my microphone from my mobile application. So I hope it's going to work. So I sent a short document to the subgroup for the workstream too. I think I didn't manage to send to the whole group on the applicable frameworks. I think I will send it around in the next few days, but anyway, just a few key points in the summary. I think that maybe News can add his comments after, because I think there are some points where we could possibly disagree. So I went through the question of the applicability of different frameworks on human rights, basically international treaties or guidelines to the framework of interpretation of the human rights by law. And I came up with two main points. Well, first of all, I think that nearly all international frameworks, like, for example, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, will be applicable, but only for defining the scope of the obligation. There is no direct applicability of the international treaties because they are for states to protect human rights, to enforce human rights. So they are only state obligations. So ICANN cannot and will not commit to these instruments. We can only use them to populate the obligation of human rights with some information, like, for example, what are human rights, which human rights we are going to respect. The second point is different guidelines, like, for example, RAGI principles. And here we are coming to the point where we have to do something with the idea that in the Working Party 4, in the Workstream 1, in the CCWG accountability, we agree that we are not going to commit to RAGI principles, which I think is a good idea. But some of them are still useful. Because we can use them to see what it means to respect human rights, how one can operationalize this commitment. And in the document I sent around, I pointed to some RAGI principles which we can use to see how this framework of interpretation can actually work. But I think in the Working Party 4, what we were afraid of is that some of the RAGI principles are not only about, like, risk mitigation or respecting human rights. They actually are a bit about enforcement, for example, or about remedies. And that's where ICANN does not want to step. For example, we want to be clear that we are not going to step in the domain of content regulation or content takedown. And this is why we have to treat RAGI very carefully. I think there would be a big discussion how we are actually going to use these guiding principles. I don't think that there would be any blind commitment. I think there should be, you know, somehow we are balancing on the border between clearly using certain RAGI principles or just using the principles or interpretation of these principles or explanations related to those principles, but without actually mentioning them. And I think this is for a bigger group to decide. This is for Workstream 2 human rights group to decide how we are going to proceed with this. But certainly these principles are one of the most important applicable instruments in with regard to the work of the CCWG Workstream 2. While international treaties are going only to provide us with the information on human rights and what are we actually committing to in terms of content of this commitment. This is all from me. Did you hear me well or not? I see that Niels is right, and I don't think anyone can blindly commit to guidelines. Niels, I think that there is a big fear in the group. Is it better now? I can try to speak louder. Can you guys know me on the chat if I'm too quiet or not? So about implementation of guidelines and blind or non-blind commitment. From the Working Party 4, I gathered that it is really hard for many people to hear the word RAGI principles, and I can understand them because of this uniqueness of the ICANN mission. And I think that if we mention RAGI, we are going to explain very clear why we mention them and which principles we are mentioning. And if the compromise solution would be just use some of the things without mentioning Ruggie, to be honest, I am fine with this. I am fine with this if this human rights commitment will be... I'm not going to die in a ditch over mentioning Ruggie principles. I think our main goal is to make this work of interpretation clear and sounded. Ruggie or not Ruggie, I don't really care, because we are going to use all the instruments anyway. Thanks. That's all from me.
Can I ask a question?
Of course. Please come in.
This is a question of clarification, Tatjana. I'm obviously not a lawyer, but I was wondering if you could explain to me how that works in terms of, can we cherry-pick certain party principles? Like, legally, is that possible? Can we say we do respect, but not the rest of it? Because I remember you saying it has three pillars. Is it possible to say we will cover one pillar, but not the others?
Tatjana Tropina is speaking. Well, I mean, Ruggie is non-binding principles. They're basically guidelines. So if I say there is like one apple and one orange and one cucumber in this particular pot, and I take only apple and eat apple only, I think there is no problem with this. But I also think that this applicability of Ruggie, I mean, partially, they are actually for the state, for example, they are explaining the duty of the state to respect to protect human rights. So we can basically play with them like with the pieces of the puzzle. And of course, I am cautious legally. If we are committing, for example, to Ruggie principle, I don't remember 22, for example, which says something about remedies and mitigation, how it will go. I would be cautious to commit into some of the principles which have mitigation and or remedy mechanisms. I think we rather have to create our totally own document and just using some of the things as guidance or explanation. And of course, as a lawyer, yes, I'm super cautious, because I think there is a very dangerous opportunity here that if we will miss something, if we will commit to any of the principles without actually considering what it means, it can take us to all this content regulation domain or wherever, and this is why I rather suggest that we will use the principles to see what is in there in the obligation to respect, but we will develop our own document. Thanks.
Very much, Tatjana, for that discussion. There's only one thing I would really ask, and that is, I don't think that. Sorry, I see Motoko has her hand up. Let Motoko go first. Sorry, Motoko, please go ahead.
Actually, I'm happy to come after you, Neil.
No, please go ahead. You know much more about the guiding principles than I do, so please go ahead to prevent me from saying things that are that you can say better.
No, I was just going to provide a very quick clarification that, first of all, Tatjana is absolutely correct. Pillar one is about the state duty, and we need to think very carefully exactly what that means, particularly vis-a-vis the GAC. So that's a conversation that probably needs to be had. In terms of pillar two, that is the guts of the guiding principles and applicable to business enterprises. And Tatjana, in terms of principle number 22, you know, I think it's very difficult for ICANN to say to the extent it has caused or contributed to human rights violations. And so this is where, you know, ICANN's hand is very, very clear, and the causal relationship is very clear between ICANN's action and the human rights impacts. It's difficult, I think, for ICANN to sit and say they will do nothing. If we are saying that this is a human rights-based, set of principles, policy, whatever, I think it's very difficult for us not to have nothing at all on mitigation and remediation. In terms of Pillar 3, I also wanted to say that ICANN already has a grievance mechanism, right? And it's not a human rights-specific grievance mechanism, but ICANN has this ombudsman function. I don't know if Chris is on the line here. But it is in a place to entertain various complaints, including human rights complaints. And so I would not minimize that. Now, Chris might say, actually, don't point to me and don't characterize me as a human rights grievance mechanism. But I have already seen its remit and the kinds of questions that it has addressed, particularly community-based complaints about treatments of stakeholders. And that is certainly part of what ICANN should be doing. It's there already, and so I just wanted to say we should not minimize that. Thanks.
Tatiana, is that an old hand? Tatiana?
Can you hear me well?
I am not hearing.
I agree with Tatiana.
Oh, God, now I hear you.
And, can you hear me, right?
Yes, now we hear you.
Hello? Okay, thanks. So,
yes,
I do agree with Motoko. My point was that it's like, how to say, like Principle 22 or Principle 23 or Principle 11, whatever principle, we're just going through each principle and see how it's applicable. Because if you say the word RAGI without going through word by word through any of them, I believe that mostly they're applicable to ICANN. But I think there is a big fear, so we do have to fine-tune. And this was my point. I do think that they're the most applicable instrument. But if you just come there with these documents, with RAGI principles, to the work stream too, well, first of all, we will be immediately pointed to the previous discussion, and the issue might take us back like 10 steps. What we can do is just to suggest, look, people, some of the RAGI principles might help us to develop framework of interpretation without just saying, let's commit to the RAGI principles. And then we can go through them and fine-tune. And here I totally agree with Motoko that they're very useful. We can probably explain in the group that some of them, that we don't need to commit to them blindly, that this commitment can be fine-tuned and whatever. So I don't think we actually disagree here. I'm just talking rather process and approach than content, you know. So I'm careful about the process and the approach of this development. Quant-wise, I think they're very applicable, many of them, let's say. Thanks.
That is great. That is great. Thank you very much for that. I see I'm having a bit of issues with my audio. Sorry about that. Motoko has her hand up. Please, Motoko, come in.
Sorry, Niels, to take up the floor again. I just wanted to mention there is a distinction between... Sorry, I'm here. Voice here, so I'm going to try to ignore it. There is a distinction between what ICANN does as a company, as a corporate entity, and undertaking business activities, and then there are, and so there are human rights impacts associated with that, versus what ICANN does through policy. right? And the policies themselves create impacts, but they're far more diffused. And so if you could just keep that distinction, there are things that ICANN does that are very direct, that has human rights impacts through their footprints, shall we say. Yeah, and the most obvious things are just to pick a very ridiculous example, ICANN hiring child labor or slave labor, which of course isn't the case, but let's just say, to make it very clear, those footprint operational issues, I think the RUGI principles apply directly, particularly pillar two. So let's say ICANN found child labor in one of its offices somewhere very far. Can they not remediate that? Can they just sit there and say, oh, we made a mistake, we shouldn't have had it, we're not going to do anything about it? Of course not, right? And that's subject to remediation. Whereas what ICANN does through policy, that domain is a totally different thing. And I think that we're going to have to be very careful about the applicability of RUGI principles with respect to those things. And so I think that this bears further conversation and analysis. And I'm also noting that Chris Lahat is doing a human rights report. It's something that would be very, very useful for us to have. And so, you know, let us continue to have this discussion. But I agree, we're going to need a very, very nuanced interpretation of various applicable instruments. Thank you.
That's great. And I think that there is the opinion on this is converging, and I'm very happy about that. That is great. So with that, do we think we can drop this point and continue to the next one? Would that be okay? In that case, I would like to ask Fidushi to shortly present her report on the GTLD subsequent round.
Hi, thanks, Neil. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay, good. So the document on potential human rights issues arising from GTLD subsequent procedures has been circulated on the mailing list thrice. And so we've taken into account the different aspects of feedback that we've gotten. So as of now, the document, I'm just going to paste the link of the document in the chat so everyone can refer to it. Right now, it's 6 pages. We have some more feedback that was given to us today by Corinne to go through that is yet to be done. So basically, what we've done is we've looked at the heads of freedom of expression, consumer welfare and privacy, procedural fairness, and diversity. And this is based on the final issue report of the GTLD subsequent procedures. Now, one of the issues that I'm having right now with this particular draft is that it doesn't map on very neatly to human rights within the framework that we understand, so the GDHR or other such instruments. So I'm working towards that. So, for example, consumer welfare isn't exactly a right under the UDHR, and so either we have to rephrase that or revisit how we articulate that, and that is one overarching issue that remains in this document. But apart from that, it has gone through several iterations, and this is actually quite different from what we had circulated on the mailing list. And so I'd really appreciate any sort of feedback that anyone may have based on the link in the chat. This is a very short update, but I'm happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Very much, Fidushi, for presenting the report, but also for writing it. I think it's really quite good work. I've seen comments by Corinne. I've also had a quick analysis, a quick reading of it myself. Have other people also been able to read the report produced by Fidushi? that I would be interested in. And Fidushi, I also would be interested to hear how you would like to take this forward. Would you like to present this in Helsinki, or how would you like to take this forward?
So I think it would actually be interesting to present it in Helsinki for the main reason that this is kind of what we wanted to produce as the CCWP on HR, which is it's a short snippet of what a particular policy or a particular process looks like. And based on feedback that I've gotten from Monica and other people on the list, from Kathy, I think there are different views that could potentially work well together based on how we want to talk about human rights issues within ICANN. And so I think if we present it and open it out on the floor, get comments and feedback, I think that would work really well. Of course, I'm happy to discuss how that will fit into the larger scheme for the Helsinki meeting. But I would be interested in presenting this work.
That is great, and it's really great as well to hear that you have been having comments from Kathy, Monica, and Corinne. And have you been able to integrate the comments into the document? So it's really integrated. It's really nice. So yeah, then I would really, I'm really happy that we can present this as some work in Helsinki. I see Kathy has her hand up. So Kathy, please come in.
Hi, Niels. Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
We can hear you very well.
Okay. There appears to be an echo from my side, so I'll do my best. First, thank you to Fidushi. This is, and to everyone, it's amazing to join you on this call and hear more about the work that's taking place. I'm coming in purely for the purpose that there is some discussion about the Trademark Clearinghouse, which goes to, of course, more than the Subsequent Procedures Working Group. It goes to the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group. So I'd really like to urge, Fidushi, will you be in Helsinki? I'd really like to urge you and everyone else to come and talk about the concerns, the issues about the Trademark Clearinghouse in Helsinki. We're going to have a meeting on Monday afternoon. The cross-community meeting is Monday afternoon after the privacy one, after the Registration Directory Services Working Group. In the same room, the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group will follow almost immediately. We'll take a short break and then start again. And so we're in a data gathering mode about the Trademark Clearinghouse. So to the extent that you've got questions about what you'd like to know, which is a secret database, drives me crazy. It's a secret database. We don't know how many generic words are in it. We don't know about some of the procedures that are taking place. So just please come and input and, you know, let us know things that you're interested, concerns, and also data that you're interested in so that we can kind of add it to what the working group is doing. I can assure you your input will be very important.
Thank you very much, Kathy, and we'll be sure to be present there. And I might have been one of the people who have not got anything right, so it will be a great learning moment. And thank you so much for your experienced input here, because we know how present you are, but your knowledge is really appreciated. So it's really great to see that we also have So it's really great that we are one step ahead with one document. That's great. We'll present it in Helsinki, and that leaves us for one more document to discuss, and that is the visualization. I saw Mariam has already uploaded it and has it ready there. So if you could put it up on the screen again, thank you very much. This is a work that has been brought forward by APC, by Marilia, by so many great people here on the list, and which has been fine-tuned with the great knowledge from Kathy, from Avery, I'm definitely missing people, but I think what we really try to do here is condense a lot of knowledge of the process that we've been in here into this. I've even able to integrate Kathy's latest comments into this. So I'd be very curious to hear from people, what do you think about this document, and do you think this is okay to present in Helsinki as a CCWP document? I see Kathy's hand is up. Or is it an old hand, Kathy?
I'm sorry, Niels, it's an old hand.
Okay. So I think we'll also really make sure and show that this work is, as is noted in the bottom corner, that it's a work in progress. We continue making this better, and it's also pending a full human rights impact assessment. But I do think it makes the issue much more tangible and relates it to much more concrete things. So I really hope this can help. How do other people feel about it? People feel about this document? Yeah, there is some. There is some positive feedback in the chat from Motoko, Corinne, Fidushi. That's great. So we'll go ahead. We'll discuss this in Helsinki as well. Present it to the crowd. I'll make sure I'll print a lot of copies in A3 because on A4 it's not readable. So I'll print a lot of copies and make it available. And I hope we can use this to if people ask, what is the relation between ICANN's policies and operations and human rights? We can show this and that people have a way in. So that's great. Nice. So back to the agenda, Mariam, if we can. And that leaves us already halfway the agenda. That's great. At the planning for Helsinki. So unfortunately, we were informed that we were not able to have our own session in Helsinki, which I think is very sad because it is supposed to be an outreach meeting, which we outreach to local communities. I think human rights is a very relevant topic, but unfortunately we didn't get a meeting. But luckily we were able to have a joint session with the CCWPHR and the GAC, a working group on human rights and international law. So we will be able to present some work and our process there. So we have there the visualization to present. We have the document produced by Fidushi to present. What are other things we would like to discuss or bring up during this joint session? The session is not very long. It's 45 minutes. It's together with the GAC, so we do also do not have huge, enormous amount of discussion time. But what are issues people would like to bring up in this? Or would you prefer to have more discussion time? So Chana suggests these two are enough. Yeah, this is also pretty much the work that we've been doing, so that would be also relating to reality. And it also gives us a bit of time to discuss with the GAC and amongst ourselves. What I'm a bit worried about, what I really liked, were the working sessions that we had in previous meetings where we could really set our agenda for next time. I will try to set an evening to get us all together to do a working session to decide what we're going to do for the coming time. Okay, great. We'll do that. Then there is also the cross-community working group meeting on the start of Workstream 2. This will be dedicated the whole Sunday. There will be lightning talks. I have submitted a proposal for a lightning talk about human rights. I am currently writing some text for that, which I will also share here on the list, in which I would also like to use the visualization to see a bit what we have been doing, what we have been working on. I would definitely urge, if people are in Helsinki, then already to join that meeting or join remotely. and also sign up for the as a volunteer for that work, because there's a lot of work on human rights to be done there. I think what our main messages is there to keep the framework of interpretation limited as a really explanation of the bylaw, not as a not as a human rights policy in itself. We really try to dig into the words, what they mean, what they explain, word by word, very much in line with the discussion on instruments we had earlier. So, do people think we should have other messaging there, or strategies? We've been talking about this quite a lot, but it would be great to hear more voices on this. People seem okay with the proposed way going forward. That's okay. That's nice. And then finally, and I wanted to create some space for this, for Kathy and other people who are actively engaged in PDPs, to tell us to which meetings we really should go, that we try to learn and understand what is going on and what is happening. Has anyone got concrete suggestions of what we should join, where we should go? GTLD subsequent working group, rights protection mechanisms, what are other PDPs that we should definitely follow or ensure that we're present? Kathy, please come in. I was already silently hoping for you. Please come in. Kathy, please come in.
Sorry, was I muted during all of that?
Yes, you were. I'm very sorry to say, but please go ahead.
My apologies to everybody. In addition to the Rights Protection Mechanism Working Group on Monday afternoon, there's the Registration Directory Services Working Group. And so I see that privacy is within your ambit. Have you already talked about what the Registration Directory Services Working Group does? Would it make sense, Niels, to summarize it briefly? Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Kathy. That's very relevant for us.
Okay. So the Registration Directory Services Working Group is rethinking the WHO is. The WHO is a directory services database, set of databases, many databases, that ICANN inherited back when the Internet was really NSFNet and kind of, you know, old education networks under the National Science Foundation's mandate. Whoever was in charge of a university put their name, their address, their business, you know, office, their business phone. In those days, there was no cell phones, and their email address. So you had Scott Bradner at Harvard Information Technology, and he put his name in the directory for harvard.edu. And this just kind of kept scaling, and it's wound up being the biggest database of speakers in the world. And people are using the WHO is, and you can tell I'm biased on this one, people are using the WHO is to track down and harass speakers who they don't agree with all over the world. And businesses are using it to track down and intimidate small businesses that are coming in competition with them. And but of course there is illegal activity, and people are using domain names to do illegal things. And so law enforcement and intellectual property like having all the registrant data out there so that they can do their policing activities, whether it's intellectual property enforcement or law enforcement enforcement. But then the rules are different across borders. What may be completely legal in the United States on pro-democracy websites is completely illegal in China. So this is what the Registration Directory Services Working Group is wrestling with, is what types of data elements to collect. What is the purpose that we're collecting it for, which is, frankly, domain name registration? And then to what secondary purposes can we put this data, like directory services? And in which case, how much data do you put in, and how do you put it in, and is it all available, or do you put up gates? These are all the questions that are being asked. So that's the Registration Directory Services Working Group, which is going to be meeting forever, probably for the next 2 or 3 years, but making headway along the way. So right now we're looking at, what are the privacy frameworks? Actually, I should say we're looking at three big elements. One is user, I'll give you the kind of big overview. One is users and purposes, one is data elements, and one is privacy frameworks. So I'll start with privacy frameworks, which is, ICANN is kind of a U.S.-based corporation, but yet the registries and registrars, and frankly, half the world, as of last year, half the world is under comprehensive data protection laws. So when we're looking at a new directory, possibly even one great centralized directory of who is or registration directory information for the world, should it be under U.S. privacy laws or should it be under comprehensive data protection privacy law principles like what we see in the EU? That's one question that's being asked. Data elements. What do we need to collect for domain name registration purposes? That is, certainly we need a lot of technical information. What's the name server? Who's the registrar? Who's the registry? What date was it created? What date does it expire? Those are basic kind of operational, technical pieces of data. But when it comes to PII, personally identifiable information, do we really need someone's physical address, where they're located? Do we need their personal phone number? Does this create, do we need all of that, and then do we need to put it into a separate directory so that it's available for everyone or for some people under certain circumstances? That's data elements. And then users and purposes. For what uses and purposes do we want to make this data available? And frankly, some of that depends on your privacy laws. If you have privacy laws that are as lax as the United States, oh, great, you know, create any type of users and purposes. Other types of data protection laws might be a little more strict. So those are the big three things we're looking at in Helsinki. And I just wanted to share that the format of the working group discussions is a little different in Helsinki than we've seen it anywhere else. This new type of B meeting where we're focusing on policy. Each working group actually has two meetings. One is a cross-community meeting specifically to reach out to all the voices they don't normally hear in the working group. And then the next day, or in some cases 2 days later, the working group has its own meeting where all the usual suspects are there, all the people who would normally come on the phone call, but the meeting's also open to the public, and if people want to participate in the discussion, they can do that. But the first meeting, which for each of these is at least 3 hours, is really designed to hear what you think, what people think from outside the working group. So that's kind of a new format for us, and it will get really boring if people don't come and talk to us. Niels, I think that was way too long, but thank you very much.
Kathy, and that was exactly the kind of response I was hoping for. So we'll definitely know what we what we need to go to. So there are so especially the outreach meetings will be great to follow a lot of work, and we'll definitely also follow the RPM there. It sounds very relevant, very interesting, and definitely flock to you for advice and questions, if you allow us so. So I think this pretty much brings us to point four, and that is, we do not know how this meeting will develop. So if people have specific ideas outside of these joint sessions, the joint session we have, the CCWG that have engaging in the PDPs, And of course, in our constituency day, it would be great to hear how you think we can take this forward. I think we'll also have a pretty busy agenda, but if people have creative ideas how we can bring particular ways things forward, I'd be very happy to hear them. I would really like to see how the how the visualization is perceived, and maybe for next time we can print it even a bit larger and sometimes stand outside in the public halls, have a bit of discussion with people about it, so it is a bit approachable. We mainstream the topic a bit more. That is definitely something we could do as well. So that brings me to the any other business, AOB. Do we have any other business to discuss? Kathy, I think that's an old hand.
Oh, that's my worst habit. Sorry, Niels, it is.
But if not, you're...
Oh, that's my worst habit. Sorry, Niels.
Well, I wish old hands was one of my worst habits. That would be great. So thank you all very much on this call. If you have any other questions, feel free to do it now. Reach out to me after the call directly via mail or Skype, telephone, email, or otherwise. Always feel free to ask questions to the group. I'm very happy to say that we remained, again, under an hour, so we're a very efficient working party. I would like to thank you all for your very active engagement. I'm looking forward to work with you in Helsinki before and beyond. And thanks again for all this work, and have a great weekend. Bye, all.
Thank you very much. Anderson, you may now stop the recording, please. Thank you.